Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, if you're somebody whose kids do sports, there is absolutely a feeling of pride, a little fear. You don't want them to get injured, but you feel so proud that they're doing something. You know they're learning something. But then there's also that parent feeling that maybe somewhere deep inside the recesses of your mind that this child, if they're good at that sport, is going to go on to excel. They're going to go on to do something really amazing in it, maybe even the Olympics. Who knows? Well, we're talking about sports specialization here on Healthy Children today, and my guest is Dr. Joel Brunner. He's Associate Professor of Pediatrics at Eastern Virginia Medical School in Norfolk, Virginia. So, Dr. Brunner, first of all, kids are starting certain sports really young. Soccer now, which this country didn't even have till 20 years ago, they start at three. They're little tiny kids at 3 years old. And then we move them along and they keep going in soccer. What are you telling parents all the time about their kids and team sports and the really good effects that team sports have on kids?
Right. Well, thanks for having me, Melanie. So what we're trying to promote is that sports are an excellent form of exercise. And we want kids to be physically active, not only as kids and teenagers, but to learn lifelong physical activity skills and lots of benefits to youth sports. They can learn about leadership, they can learn about teamwork, have peer socialization, and just have a lot of fun. So we do want kids to be active and try a variety of sports, especially when they're young.
Okay, so we want them to try a variety of sports, but then sometimes you see a kid who's really good. There's always that kid on the soccer team or that kid on the tennis team that's really good that you're like, whoa, that kid's awesome. And, you know, the parents just sit there proudly, or maybe the kid has private coaching. And so there are some goods and bads, because early sports specialization can help. It can help you get better coaching access. It can help a lot of things for a child for early age group success. I mean, there are some goods, right?
Actually, I would say early sports specialization, there's not a lot of good that comes out of it from a long-term standpoint. So there's been, over the past 15, 20 years, there's been more science, more research, more evidence from athletes, from studies that specializing early actually can be detrimental. So if a young athlete is playing the same sport year-round, even on multiple teams, they're using the same muscles over and over and over again. They're going to be fatiguing the muscles. They're going to be at higher risk for injuries. They're going to be at a higher risk for burnout. And they're actually not training the other muscles. So what's been shown is by playing multiple sports during your younger years actually can make you succeed more likely as an athlete, whether it's to make it to high school, to college, to professionals. And there's lots of examples with that. If you just look at Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick or even Tom Brady, they all played multiple sports. And if you just look at this year's NFL draft 2016, 90% of the first round draft picks played multiple sports in high school. And if you look at female sports, the majority of the women soccer players on the 2015 World Cup team played multiple sports during high school, and that made them more successful. So there are risk factors for or risks for playing and specializing early instead of doing multiple sports.
Okay, so when they're young, definitely we want them doing lots of different sports. Are there some sports that go together well? Like if they're in soccer in the fall, maybe basketball I won't let my kids play football, Dr. Brunner. That's just the facts. I won't let them play ice hockey. I won't let them play football. Those are just, you know, maybe not even field hockey. But soccer, basketball, volleyball, some of these kind of, they hit separate seasons. So do those go together? Are there ones you like to recommend?
Actually, I recommend that kids just find sports that they enjoy, and that's really the key, because those are the ones that they're going to continue to participate in. And again, like we've said, fun is really the key factor of why kids should be playing sports. So it's not so much a combination of particular sports. And the other thing not to lose sight is that they don't have to be playing traditional sports that are organized. One of the things that's been lost over the past decade or two has there's been less chance for kids to have what we call deliberate play, where they just go out in the backyard or in the playground and they are just playing with their friends with no adult organized activities. They make up their own plays, they make up their own games, and they're just able to go out there and play as a kid. And that actually will help them succeed also in their sport, and it just helps them recover from that standpoint too. And then you can look at other activities such as yoga or Pilates or stand-up paddleboarding, things where they're physically active, but it doesn't have to be a traditional sport.
Well, you're right. We have lost that sense of play. Kids don't go outside and play as much anymore. Put a basketball hoop in the driveway, go outside and play frisbee, catch, that sort of thing. I mean, and there is a lot to that, and it's really good for the kids, plus it gets them outside. So now what about the parents, Dr. Brenner? Because that would seem to be one of the biggest impediments to getting kids in all these different sports. If your parent thinks that you're just like so awesome and you've got this career in front of you in soccer or tennis seems to be one I see that with a lot, or any of them really, the parents have these dreams of pro, but not a lot of kids actually go pro, do they? Especially like in baseball and such.
Right. So from a number standpoint, two important statistics are that only 1% of high school athletes will receive any type of college scholarship for sports, and those aren't necessarily full rides. So that it's not that many that get a college scholarship. And if you look at becoming professional, only 0.03% of high school athletes will reach the professional level. So very few actually make it to the professional level. So it's important that when you're talking to parents, you're talking to the athlete, you're talking to the coaches, of finding out what the athlete's dream is, what the child's dream is, and what their goals are, and make sure you distinguish that from a parent's dream or goal, since it's supposed to be all about the young athlete, the child, the adolescent. And one of the things that's been shown is that parents are the biggest the biggest factor in terms of kids initiating a sport, but coaches are actually the biggest factor in terms of specializing or in terms of intensive training. So coaches have a big part in play in this problem, but also in the solution. So coaches really need to understand what is best for the young athlete, and that actually by giving young athletes a chance to play multiple sports, by giving them proper rest periods, they're actually going to be more successful and they're going to continue to be physically active.
They used to talk about, when I was in graduate school, Dr. Brenner, the 10-year, 10,000-hour rule for elite-level successes in sports and such, and that's really debunked now. Would we know if our child was truly an elite athlete? Would we know if they're truly somebody who is like, whoa, you know? And in right. that case, is it still contraindicated when they, I mean, obviously taking seasons off, some not seasons, but different semesters off, taking time off of that sport, cross training, so huge, swimming, walking, running. But is there some sign that your child, I mean, if people are telling you, if coaches are telling you, is there a sign like that? It's pretty rare.
There isn't a sign. So like you said, that 10,000-hour rule, that was extrapolated from chess players, and it has not been shown to be
chess players?
Chess players, yes. Master chess
okay.
players.
Okay.
Nothing to do with sports. So that 10,000-hour rule is not applicable to sports, and it's been shown that you can't tell if a 10-year-old is truly going to be an elite athlete when they're older as an adult. And that's some of the problems with some of the long-term athlete development models, where you can't really find a 10-year-old and say, okay, they're going to be an Olympian. Now, there's going to be the rare exception that it might work out, but there's plenty of examples where kids who excelled when they were 12 or 13, by the time they got to college, they were just average or mediocre. So there is no way for us to know for sure. And that's also one of the problems with they've started doing some college ranking in 7th and 8th graders who, you know, that's adding more pressure to the whole culture, to parents and to the athlete. But, you know, you don't know if that 7th and 8th grader truly is going to be, you know, the cream of the crop by the time they're in college. So
yeah,
our recommendation and that we've put out is to stop this college ranking at such young ages, to wait until they're in the later parts of high school.
Yeah, of course. And really also it can lead to burnout. And we don't want our kids to burn out from fitness in general and playing sports and being involved in a team as they get through high school and maybe even get lucky enough to play, even if it's just for fun in college.
Yeah, I mean, that is huge. I would say on average right now, I see probably one or two young athletes who come into my office who are burned out from sports, from playing it year-round at a very young age. They either don't want to play their sport or they don't want to play any sports. So a lot of people forget about the mental aspect of not only training, but of the injuries. There's a lot of physical overuse injuries, but burnout is a problem that's actually growing.
It is, and it happened to me. It happened with my daughter. She was such a great soccer player and run. And then just like 2 seasons ago, she says, "Mom, don't sign me up." I said, "Really?" She said, "Nope, I don't want to run it," because she was always center forward, even though she's tiny, 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 like 3 foot tall. She was always center forward and fast like lightning, so it was fun to watch her. But she's like, "I don't want to run like that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to play basketball, volleyball, I want to softball. You know, I want to try some different things." And so we're like, okay. So she doesn't really like soccer anymore because she got burned out.
Right. And the good thing is she's young enough now that she can actually still experiment with these other sports. If you don't have that opportunity to experiment with multiple sports when you're young, it's a lot harder to do as an adult, and you're going to miss out on that opportunity, and you might miss out on a sport that you were, one, very good at, and two, really enjoyed.
That's right, and she's finding, you know, as she enters high school next year, that basketball and softball are something she loves, and she doesn't have to do the, you know, 50-yard dash every 10 seconds like you do in soccer, because there's a lot of running, you know. But so kids in specialization, what else do you want parents to know about making sure that their kids cross-train, Dr. Brenner, and making sure that they try other sports? And even for some kids now, what we haven't talked about is that sometimes it's the kid and not necessarily the parent. Like in my situation, my son wants to be doing gymnastics all year round, and I won't let him.
Right.
He wants to take separate classes. He wants to go to the gymnastics academy. He wants on this semester, first semester junior year, I'm like, nope, you can go to the workout room. You can run. You can walk. You can go swimming and water skiing, but you cannot do gymnastics. And he's really mad at me about it.
Uh-huh. So the important thing is, and this isn't just a parent problem, it's not an athlete problem, it's not a coach problem. You know, we all need to take control of the situation. But I think ultimately the parent does need to be the advocate of the child. A lot of times, if the child's getting pressure from the coach or the organization, that the child might not want to stand up to the coach because they don't want to be disrespectful for the adult. So the parent can be the advocate for the child. And the parent can also explain, for instance, in your situation, the parent or your pediatrician can talk to your son about how actually doing multiple sports is going to help you succeed as a gymnast and help you make it to the next level. You know, one of the things, and we haven't talked about yet, but was just the proper amount of rest periods that young athletes need. If you look at right now the professional athletes in this country, they all get an off season and they're all making millions of dollars. But if you look at the young athletes in this country, most of them, a lot of them don't have an off season. They're not making millions. They're actually paying a lot of money oftentimes to play sports. So there's a little bit something wrong with that. It's a little bit backwards. And, you know, young athletes are at higher risk for injuries because their bodies are still developing. So the recommendations that are out at this point are to make sure that the young athletes have at least 1 to 2 days off per week from their particular sport. And on those days, they can be doing either play activities, they can be doing cross training, they can be just chilling out and just doing other things. And then throughout the 12-month period, they should have at least 3 months off throughout the year, and it can be in one-month increments. And during that time off, they should still remain physically active to meet the regular guidelines that are out there. And they can be doing other sports, they can be doing other activities. But actually, that time off is going to help their body, their muscles, their bones recover. It's going to help their mind recover, and they're going to be hungrier, and they're going to perform better. And, you know, like we've talked about, it's going to decrease burnout and injuries. So those are the recommendations right now, and it's something that coaches have to look at, organizations, national governing bodies have to look at to help implement this. But it's been shown that that can be helpful.
Absolutely. I completely agree. So just wrap it up for us, Dr. Brenner, and kids in sports specialization and why you want parents to really get their kids involved in so many sports and for the fun of it, too.
Right. So, you know, we want the kids to play multiple sports. We want them to be healthy. We want them to be successful, but we want them to have fun. That's the ultimate end product, is to make sure that they're having fun, and they can do that by playing multiple sports so that when they are older, they want to play and be physically active for as long as they can. And I think it's going to make their young athlete and their child healthy and happy. It's also going to decrease pressure that can occur on the family and the parents too, as a family unit that can go along with sports specialization. So we don't want to dash anyone's dreams of being a pro or a collegiate athlete, but we just want to be realistic and make sure that we understand everything.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Brenner, for being with us today. It's really great information. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD with our great friends from the American Academy of Pediatrics. They provide the guests for us. They're experts. So parents listening, these are free pediatricians for you to listen to, and listen to them talk like we're sitting in your living room. They're answering your questions, giving such great advice. Remember, you can subscribe to us on iTunes and rate and review so that like-minded people, parents with kids that are involved in all of these things, can get involved together. So subscribe to us on iTunes, rate and review. This is Melanie Cole, Healthy Children, Radio MD, all those names. Thanks for listening.